Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Purcell. Up the hill to the Cincinnati Art Museum and an installation by artist Todd Pavlisko titled Crown. The video installation in brass cube pierced by bullets is on view in the Schmidlap Gallery and the Great Hall until June 15th and has been generating quite a conversation. Have you seen The Crown? Heard the abstract gunshots? Studied the brass cube? Share your reaction to this union of new art and art history by calling 513-419-7100, emailing talk at wvxu.org, sending us a tweet, or posting on the WVXU Facebook page. And joining me to discuss this exhibition and the artist is the adjunct curator of contemporary art at the Cincinnati Art Museum, Matt Distel. Welcome to Cincinnati Edition, Matt.
Thank you, Mark.
Well, it seems that both the method and the result of this work is causing strong feelings. Let's begin with how Crown was created.
Well, the process started quite some time ago, nearly 3 years ago, and the actual event took place in 2012. The artist, Todd Pavlisko, had been collaborating with a person who was a professional retired Marine sniper, and he started asking the question through the course of this collaboration, you know, what would happen if we were able to, you know, fire a gun through in the museum and then capture that image, that projectile, on high speed cameras as it traveled past all of the works on view in the gallery. So that was really the event that took place, and then everything that you see now in the installation is essentially the result, the video result of that, and then also the object that the projectile went into.
Now, these pieces of art are part of the icons of the permanent collection at the Cincinnati Art Museum, and these are some amazing pieces of work, everything from an old viola, a beautiful old viola, I'd love to play that there, painting by Frank Duveneck, we're talking, there's a lot of what many would consider priceless art, and it seems that bringing a gun into the gallery and shooting it would be possibly harmful to that art.
Well, yeah, and I think that argument, you know, sort of is interesting to me, but only goes so far. I mean, I think the museum, of course, did due diligence in making sure that this would not harm any of the artwork. We went through city council, we went through the sheriff's department, we went through, of course, our insurance company.
yes.
And there were actually two representatives of the insurance company on hand when the action took place, when we filmed. So, you know, I think, you know, a lot of due diligence was done to make sure that no work was going to be in harm's way. And, you know, I think that was obviously our first question is, well, you know, what would happen if we did this? What's the worst case scenario? And there was really not a worst case scenario that led to the destruction of any artwork, of course, or even the harming.
Well, Todd Pavlisko is from Oxford, Ohio, graduate of Miami University, and has exhibited extensively around the world. What is he best known for?
Well, you know, he works in a lot of different ways, as a lot of artists of his generation do. I mean, I think there's a lot of aspects to what he does. He's kind of cut his teeth in the performance world, and in some cases, kind of the endurance, or a lot of times his body becomes the vessel for making the artwork. And then, you know, he does paintings, does sculpture, you know, all of the more traditional methods. He's actually trained as a printmaker primarily. And then, you know, I think that the idea that his body is the vehicle to do all of this kind of led to him collaborating with other types of people. And he's done this frequently throughout his career, where he'll pull in somebody like a trained military personnel, sniper, somebody who's not normally associated with the art world, and will collaborate with them to create a piece that does become part of the art world. And I think that's something that really interests him in sort of developing disciplines outside of traditional art making methods.
I'm speaking to the adjunct curator of contemporary art at the Cincinnati Art Museum, Matt Distel, about Crown by Todd Pavlisko, on view at the Cincinnati Art Museum through June 15th, a brass cube with bullets inside, having been fired inside the museum past these pieces of art. Have you seen the exhibit? What was your reaction? You can let us know by calling 513-419-7100. Now, there were complaints about firing the gun inside the museum when the work was being created, and now that the work's been installed, there are complaints about the soundtrack that's a gunshot. you know, that mm-hmm. abstract gunshot. You're getting it on both sides, both ends.
Yeah, and I think we've tried to be responsive to that. And you know, there's signage that alerts people, so it's not something that's coming out of left field. And that we're also did what we could to prevent any sound bleed into adjacent galleries or the lobby and that sort of thing. Sound's difficult to control, of course. But it is also something that's intrinsic to the work. It's not a silent film. It is trying to relay the narrative of the action. The sound is what signals the beginning of that action. And it's slowed down. It's not as it was, as it happened live. So it's a somewhat different type of a sound than a gun being fired. But yeah, that's maybe the most visceral, or maybe even the only kind of visceral component of the work, which makes it even that much more important.
And this is kind of the first thing that greets you when you step into the museum, because it's in the Smidlock Gallery, which is right after you walk in the front door, straight ahead down the hallway. You're heading towards the Great Hall. The cube for Crown is in the Great Hall.
Correct.
And there were, 8 video screens that are lined up going down the Smidlock Gallery. Explain what else is going on, because there's also some curtaining that's involved.
Well, and that's part of the icons of the collection. That's part of that installation. So it really was about trying to insert that piece back into the space where the action took place. And that was, I think is crucial to the understanding of the work, is to sort of, it's what dislocates kind of space and time within that piece. And in fact, it's not the first piece you see. You see quite a few others as you walk into the museum. And in fact, one of the first pieces you see is Harold Edgerton's famous photograph. Everybody knows it, even if you don't know it by name. It's a time-lapse, a slowed image. High-speed cameras captured a bullet piercing an apple, where the apple's sort of exploding. And that was a huge reference point for Todd as he worked on this piece. Edgerton was a scientist, not an artist, and he ended up making work that became iconic in the art world. And Pavlicka has long been interested in those kind of people who, again, come from outside of the art world and have an impact on the art world.
Speaking with Matt Distel about Crown by Todd Pavlicka, an installation on view at the Cincinnati Art Museum until June 15th, you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. Bill from Finneytown, good afternoon. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
Good afternoon. I was disappointed in the exhibit because the verbiage that led me to go over there, I had in my mind that the bullet would be shown going past the artwork, the individual cubicles where the artwork is hanging on the wall. You'd see the bullet fly past those. They have video monitors at each of the units, each of those individual units along the wall. And in fact, what was shown was the point of origin of a bullet from the shooter and the bullet going into the target, the crown. And none of the art exhibit that's normally there was represented as the bullet went past it. I was disappointed in that.
Okay, thank you, Bill, for that reaction. Matt, I have to say I went and saw Crown last week. Or no, excuse me, earlier this week, Tuesday, as a matter of fact. And I had a little bit of the same reaction that Bill did, where there are at least 2 of the videos where you do see the bullet going by, but the other ones, you don't discern it.
Correct. And that's intentional. In fact, the loop is about 42 seconds long. And it does try to relay the narrative of the entire event. So you do see the bullet leaving the gun, and then you see it entering the cube, and then what comes up after that are the images of the artwork, and I believe in 3 of the monitors you see the bullet, the projectile, moving past the artwork. It rewards patience. You got to sort of sit and give it some thought and give it some attention, so it might take a few cycles for you to sort of pick up where that bullet is moving, how that's moving through the space, and you do get to see it. And when you do, it is sort of an aha moment. It's kind of revelatory. The other images on the screen are showing just the artwork in a more of a static image, and that is incredibly intentional. Todd's effort there was to turn the objects in that gallery into the spectators for the action. So the artwork becomes the viewer. And so that flip was really, really important to Todd. And he felt like that was the best way to illustrate that. And also just by having the videos placed again in Schmidlap, they are also, it adds another layer. They're also then watching the video of the thing where they're inside of it. So there's a lot of kind of meta commentary and sort of Inception type storytelling happening there.
Well, thank you for your call, Bill. But I wanted to ask, as you're, this is supposed to be a union of new art and art history. It's a new art being created. I think I read in an artist statement somewhere that talked about wanting the bullet to have the experience of all the centuries of art that it passes, mm-hmm. and that's now held in the brass cube. You didn't necessarily need to see that on video.
Sure. But I do think that it is one of the best ways to sort of preserve that. And, photography would be another way. But I think also, that the two reference points for Pavlisko were the Edgerton photograph and then also the Jean-Luc Godard film called A Band Apart, in which the main characters race through the Louvre, trying to race through art history as fast as they can. And so this piece is sort of a one-up on that activity. So it is, how fast can we traverse art history? And he, through this piece, he's able to essentially collapse it into a millisecond.
It was interesting as I was viewing the exhibition to see other people taking it in. Have you stood in the gallery and watched people viewing the piece to see their reactions? And what have you observed?
Yeah, I mean, what I've seen is pretty much the way that people experience art museums. There's some people who sit intently and really study and look and watch, and there's other people. It's just another thing to move past on your way to whatever it is you like the most about the museum. So it seems to be, in my experience, it seems to have been absorbed much in the same way that, most artwork does there. I think the difference being that video monitors, people are kind of used to that and used to experiencing that or engaging in a video piece in the same way they might engage with their television screen, which is to say they either become engrossed by it or that's just background noise.
And what do you have to say to the folks who say this is not a piece that's made for the Cincinnati Art Museum? This should have been in the Contemporary Arts Center. How is it when people look at the Cincinnati Art Museum, they think of as a repository, the mm-hmm. permanent collection, whereas the CAC doesn't have a permanent collection. That's been part of the debate. What is your reaction
to that?
Sure.
Well, I think it belongs in the Cincinnati Art Museum because the Cincinnati Art Museum also supports the work of contemporary living artists. That's one of the things that we do. And then also, it could not have happened in the Contemporary Arts Center because it required a permanent collection in order to make the work. And that's not something that the Contemporary Art Center has. It's what we have. So to me, it's very much in line with the artists who have come in and engaged with the permanent collection. I'm thinking about even just most recently, the Nick Cave installation happening throughout the entire space. Tony Lunsman's work is also a Cincinnati artist, was very responsive. And then the very first exhibition by a contemporary artist in the Cincinnati wing was Mark Fox, who had a simulated flooding of the Great Hall. So to me, that interplay engagement with the permanent collection by a contemporary artist is exactly where the Cincinnati Art Museum can kind of make some really interesting and compelling statements about where we are now versus how these artists have progressed through art history.
Well, and the great thing is it has provoked conversation.
Conversation's always good.
Granted, it goes positive, goes negative, but you have to see both sides of the issue.
It's still a dialogue.
Now, I want to ask you just before we go, as we're wrapping up, you have another exhibition that you'll be opening in May, Cincinnati Every Day. Can you provide us a little bit of a preview of what that is?
Actually, Cincinnati Every Day was a previous exhibition.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
No problem. but that was a great show by Courtney Cooper and Cole Carruthers that really looked at Cincinnati.
Well, good stuff, Matt, and thank you for your time today.
No problem. Thank you, Mark.
Matt Distel is the adjunct curator of contemporary art in the Cincinnati Art Museum. The exhibition of Crown by Todd Pavlisko will be on view at the Cincinnati Art Museum until June 15th. A link to details about the exhibit and hours available at wvxu.org. Living Hell, The Dark Side of the Civil War, on the way next on Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU after a short break.